This week's podcast is made possible through the contributions of listeners like you. Please consider giving a gift to keep this podcast running along with other From the Top programming. Go to fromthetop.org. It's NPR's From the Top, the showcase for the best young classical musicians in the country, celebrating 10 years on the air. Today, from Dinkelspiel Auditorium on the campus of Stanford University in Palo Alto, California, our lineup of outstanding performers includes a 13-year-old violinist from here in the Bay Area performing a Carmen Fantasy by Franz Waxman, and a 16-year-old pianist who demonstrates how valuable the piano can be as an anger management tool. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory's Jordan Hall in Boston. Here's our host, one of America's great concert pianists, Christopher O'Reilly.
Thank you. Welcome, everybody. It's great to be back with you again under the red tile roofs and Spanish mission arches of Stanford University. We want to extend a very special thank you to our friends at Stanford Lively Arts for bringing us back to this great campus in Palo Alto. And a special announcement to especially those of us not in the Palo Alto area. Facebook is down the street. Here in the Silicon Valley, you can't swing a dead iMac without hitting a talented young classical musician. So today's show is coming bundled, as it were, with all sorts of great Bay Area kids, including a whole pack of teenagers who make up the Palo Alto Chamber Orchestra. We'll hear them at the end of today's show. And our first young performer, a 16-year-old cellist from nearby Hillsboro, California, is joining us now. Please welcome Nathan Chan. Nathan, I'm thrilled you're going to be starting us off with a playful contemporary piece for unaccompanied cello. Title of the piece is Giulio, as in, it's a woman's name, right?
Yeah.
Who is Giulio to Mark Sommer, the composer?
Julie is Mark Sommer's sister, and they have a really intimate connection with each other, and I guess he just really wanted to make a piece that kind of summed up her overall character and what she meant to him.
Sort of an ode to sibling happiness. So let's hear it. Can't wait for it anymore. It's a beautiful piece. Thank you. Nathan Chen, 16 years old, a cellist from Hillsborough, California, playing Mark Summers' Julia. Mark Summers is the cellist of the Turtle Island String Quartet. Beautifully done there, Nathan.
Thank you.
You really get around on the cello, and it's such a sense of palpable joy about your playing. And first time you heard it, you just had to play it?
Definitely. Yes. It's just something about its grooviness. You just enjoy so much.
It's crazy. It's kind of just off all those great styles and beautiful, beautifully played. Nathan, you're not only an extremely expressive and exuberant cellist, you're an extremely expressive and exuberant kid in general. Your application to appear on From the Top was in the form of a very funny video. I mean, you really went the extra mile on that. And you've made other really clever videos. I guess one about your search for the perfectly healthy meal. So you're a budding young filmmaker. So we thought we'd let you tell your own story in audio. How was it? Was it okay working without pictures? Did you feel stifled, freed?
It's definitely a different experience from, I guess, making movies, because you only work with audio. But in working with audio, you also allow the listener's imagination to take over. So that's pretty cool, I think.
Let's hear what you did.
Test. Hi, my name's Nathan Chan. I'm going to give you a little overview of my life. Let us begin when I was a little baby. My mom and dad put on these Laserdisc recordings of Seiji Ozawa on this big screen TV we had at home. On the screen, Seiji Ozawa was conducting various orchestra pieces in front of a large audience, and he looked so into the music. He was sweaty, and he just looked like a god to me. So I wanted to copy him so bad that I would go over to the sink, splatter my head with water, and then go back next to the TV, stand up on a chair, and join in the fight to greatness. One of the coolest things I was able to do was be a part of this show on HBO called The Music in Me.
I think a good cellist has to feel the music and feel like the true meaning.
My voice sounds a little different because something called puberty happened.
Oh, here's the swan, something's happening.
I was asked to make an audition tape through my teacher, and out of 500 students, I was able to participate in the show, and it really gave me this new self-awareness. It re-emphasized the importance of cello to me. When you're a child and you play a musical instrument, you're kind of almost blindfolded with this kind of veil of childhood. It's just a kind of veil that accompanies you as a child. But, you know, as you mature and you grow from a child to a teenager and then to an adult, there's a really new sense of recognition and appreciation, and I'm really happy at where I am right now in my life. Now, whoa, what was that? Oh my God, welcome to Electric Cello World. Thank you. You know, it's a lot of fun to be able to go back and forth between the classical instrument and then the kind of rock side. But, you know, the classical side is the one where I'm mostly at, so don't freak out, okay? Okay.
Nathan, I'd like to say, you know, I wish I played the cello, but that doesn't go so far. I wish I was you. You know, you're just like...
Thank you.
Thank you for dragging us into your world there, Nathan.
Thank you very much.
I mean,
it was a pleasure.
Just kicking and screaming and grinning the whole way. Just loved all of it.
Thank you.
And great playing. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Nathan Chan, 16 years old, our cellist from nearby Hillsborough, California.
Want more of Nathan Chan? Then go to our website. We've got videos of his appearance on HBO's Music and Me, and also of his funny science project, In Search of the Perfect Meal. That's at fromthetop.org. From the Top is made possible in part by the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, advancing the education of students of exceptional promise who have financial need. On the web at jkcf.org. Chris.
Thanks, Joanne. Our second performer is a pianist from the Sacramento area. Her name is Jade Huang, and she's 16 years old. Jade, tell everybody your hometown.
Granite Bay, California.
And introduce what you're going to play for me.
Tonight I'll be playing Moderato and Allegro from Prokofiev's Etudes, Opus 2.
We know a lot of you out there are looking for the entire show. Unfortunately, clearing rights for some of the great pieces heard each week just isn't possible. But we've got you covered. If you missed this week's broadcast on your local NPR station, you can still hear the entire show at our website, fromthetop.org. Jade, I can't help thinking, my gosh, Prokofiev Opus 2. I mean, we think about Mozart as like the ultimate prodigy, but just this is such revolutionary composing and piano style, and thank you so much for bringing these pieces to us and playing them so brilliantly.
Just
beautiful and evocative and just all the great things that Prokofiev has to offer. I think we don't get to hear enough. You obviously love this set of etudes, but you especially like that second one. I mean, you use it to sort of help you emotionally, I guess?
When I'm frustrated or angry or particularly angsty, I like to pull out a loud piece and vent out.
There are a couple of good Prokofiev pieces, I think, for that.
Yes.
The Toccata is a good one. The Suggestion Diabolique, I would imagine. Second Concerto. It's a nice... Yeah, I'm getting sort of pissed off just thinking about it. So, but this Prokofiev Etude is a really good one, but what's your favorite anger management piece, would you say?
My favorite one is Buchensky's Toccata.
Yeah?
Yes.
Play a little of it for us. I'd say so. Probably because nobody ever spelled Muchinsky's name correctly.
No.
You know, that would be thing number one to be angry about. You have a great story about playing that Muchinsky Toccata at your elementary school and experiencing something that all pianists have nightmares about.
It was on an upright with wheels, so as I was playing the piece, the piano got farther and farther away from me. So when I got to this part, actually, after I took my hands off, because there's a bar of rest after that, so I thought, oh, I could pull the piano back towards me. So when I took my hands off and started pulling the piano back, the audience started clapping because they thought it was over.
As well they should, I think. Jade, playing the piano has always been something very emotional for you, not just in an angry way. Your mom had a particular way of getting you to practice more. How did she do that?
When I was little, she used to tell me that the police would come and get me if I didn't practice.
Nice, Mom. I mean, to be fair, Alfred Hitchcock, the great director, the genius, his parents actually, as a child, just put him in jail for a night. And he was, everything since then has been, the wrong man, being in the wrong place at the wrong time, the man who knew too much, all of this stuff, all a result of being afraid the police were going to come any second. And so, have you caught on yet that the police are not coming if you don't practice enough?
Yeah, after 50 times, maybe.
Yeah. But you finally caught on. But, nowadays, it isn't mom who's pressuring you to practice. You're doing it all on your own. You're working well and happily. What changed?
Well, I don't still quite always like practicing, but I love playing, and you have to practice in order to play well. So it just came to me after a while that I have to practice in order to play well.
It's a good equation to figure out early on. Yeah. And obviously it's paying off. You're playing beautifully. A really spectacular job on the Prokofiev. Thank you for being with us. Jay Hawan, 16 years old, our pianist from Granite Bay, California. Our next performer comes from the next town over, Los Altos, California. He's an excellent 13-year-old violinist, and he and I are going to engage in a little bit of Spanish drama. Stephen, tell everybody what you and I are going to play.
We're going to play Waxman's Carmen Fantasy.
Okay, let's do it.
Thank you. 18 years old, a violinist from Los Altos, California.
Fantastically well done there, Stephen.
Really
extraordinary performance. Stephen, here we are at Stanford, so it's way appropriate to point out that you're a very accomplished mathematician at your young age. What do you like about math? What appeals to you?
I like that math is very challenging and it's fun. It's also very logical. There is usually only one right answer to each question.
The certainty of math, I like that. But you also find very attractive the abstract side of math, right? I mean, what parts of math? Explain to people what we mean by abstract math.
Well, for example, in numbers, they are not necessarily applying to any specific units. They can be applied to a person or a thing or anything. And so that is abstract. Also, I like the areas of math called number theory, combinatorics, and study of prime numbers, and calculus.
Now, music, Stephen, would you say music is the most abstract art form?
Yes.
I read that you think a lot about the abstract story in music. Tell me about that.
Well, I think of music as a language without words. In this language, you can express moods, but not actual events. So if many people hear the same piece of music, they will each interpret it differently. They also may ascribe stories to the music.
Very good. Well said. You combine all of this logical and abstract thinking in your love of puzzles and games. Talk about your summer at the Bay Area Music Festival, Music at Menlo.
Well, in Music at Menlo, I went there for 3 weeks, and each day I played about 7 hours of chamber music. And also, in the morning, there was two brain teasers. One of them was a music trivia question, and the other one was a regular brain teaser, which I liked a lot.
I think probably the biggest brain teaser was, what am I doing in beautiful California playing chamber music for 7 hours a day? I think that would be the big brain teaser for me. Stephen, here on Public Radio, we know something about puzzles. In fact, one of the most popular segments on NPR is that puzzle heard every week on Weekend Edition Sunday with Leanne Hansen. And Stephen, do you know who Weekend Edition's puzzle master is?
I believe it's Will Shortz.
Will Shortz, indeed. Will is also famously the crossword editor of the New York Times. And guess what? We've got him on the line. Will, welcome.
Hey, Chris.
Wow. I'm thrilled to be speaking with you. Have you ever had a kid play the puzzle on Weekend Edition, Will?
Yes. We've done it a couple times in the program. I have a feeling Stephen is going to do well.
Yeah, I'm a little afraid of him myself, actually. Will, when you were a kid, were you a big puzzle player even as a youngster?
Oh, yeah. I started making puzzles when I was 8 or 9. I sold my first one when I was 14.
Wow.
And I became a regular contributor to Dell Puzzle Magazines when I was 16.
Fantastic. So a pro from an early age. So Will, meet our 13-year-old violinist and puzzle lover, Stephen Wartz.
Hi, Stephen.
Hi, Mr. Shorts.
Well, you can call me Will, but thank you very much. Well, I made a puzzle specially for you, and every answer is the name of a classical composer. I'll give you anagrams of their names. You tell me the composers.
Okay.
For example, if I said cab, C-A-B plus H, you would say Bach. Okay?
Yes.
All right. Number one is silt, S-I-L-T plus Z. S-I-L-T plus Z. And I'll give you a hint. The first letter is L.
List.
List.
Very good.
That's correct.
Franz,
good
list.
One.
Nice one.
About matzo, M-A-T-Z-O plus R.
Mozart.
Mozart, good job. Marsh, M-A-R-S-H plus B as in boy. It's one of the three B's. In
what would it starts with a B.
Brahms.
Brahms, good one. Nice. How about vodka, V-O-D-K-A plus R.
Dvorak.
Yes.
Yes, Dvorak. Good. Harem. H-A-R-E-M, like the Sheikh has a harem, plus the letter L.
Could you repeat it?
Yeah, harem plus L. And I'll give you a hint. The first letter is M.
And he didn't write any violin showpieces. But a lot of music with the violin in it.
Let's see.
I'll give you a second letter. It's A.
So first letter's M. Second letter's A.
And what are the remaining letters?
Yeah, let's see here. They are L, E, H, and R.
L, E, H, and R. Mahler.
Very
Mahler,
good.
Nice one. Well, Stephen, I'm impressed.
Stephen, well done. For playing Will's puzzle, you would get a from-the-top lapel pin if we had one. But what you do get is a copy of the Oxford Concise Dictionary of Music. I'm sorry, Stanford doesn't make a Concise Dictionary of Music. So the Oxford is going to have to do. Congratulations, Stephen. Will, thanks so much. You still with us there? For
I am, yeah. Thank you very much.
Great being with you. Thanks so much. Will Shortz, everybody.
Thanks a lot, Chris.
And Stephen Wartz, 13 years old, our violinist from Los Altos, California.
Can't get enough From the Top? Visit our website where you can listen to over 200 episodes of our radio show. Plus, see photos, watch exclusive videos, check out our taping schedule, and follow us on our blog, updated daily. That's fromthetop.org.
Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and from Liberty Mutual, offering auto, home, life, and business insurance for a variety of needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy? From the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age. From the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and from U.S. Trust, believing that the arts have a worth all their own in stimulating the hearts and imaginations of our country's best young musicians. This is NPR.
Welcome back to the radio showcase for the best young classical musicians in the country, From the Top. We're celebrating our 10th anniversary year, this week from Dinkelspiel Auditorium on the campus of Stanford University in Palo Alto, California. Coming up, the Palo Alto Chamber Orchestra, 30 teenagers strong, plays from the Corelli Christmas Concerto. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory's Jordan Hall in Boston, where talented young musicians are creating a new century of musical excellence. Our performance here at Stanford is made possible with support from Bert and Dee Dee McMurtry. Special thanks this week to 102.1 KDFC. Here again is Christopher O'Reilly.
Time now for a couple of performers who aren't from California and who aren't really young enough to be on our show. But we remember the 24-year-old bassist in this duo when, 7 years ago, he was on our show as a 17-year-old bassist with already a complete mastery of his instrument, I gotta say. As regular listeners know, we're celebrating our 10th anniversary all this year by bringing back some of our favorite musicians from past seasons. So now, please welcome Evan Primo and his musical companion and wife, soprano Mary Bonhag. Welcome, Evan and Mary.
Thank
Great
you.
To be with you both. You two are about to perform as a contrabass and soprano duo, but, well, Evan, you're going to perform two of your own songs, right?
That's right.
So, but before you do, we have to hear the story of how you two met, so our listeners will understand why we had to have you on the show together.
Well, I went to the University of Michigan about a year and a half after I played on this show up in Portland, Oregon, and it was Welcome Week. And so before classes started or anything, I was going to a few of the Welcome Week activities that they had down in the main part of campus in Ann Arbor. And so I was waiting at the bus stop, and there was this girl there who was introducing herself to people at the bus stop, just complete strangers with this beautiful smile on her face. And as we were getting on the bus, she introduced herself to me, and we started talking and telling each other where we were from. I told her that I was from the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and that I grew up making music with my family. And
we found that we shared a mutual love of NPR, which was quite wonderful to find out, and that we both love folk music and the outdoors. And as Evan was telling me all of these things, I felt like I was anticipating each little detail, which was so strange because I knew that I had never met him before.
You know, I think it might have been the fact when I mentioned the ice shack, because that was a big skit that we did on the show. I told you that I did done some ice shack, some ice fishing with my dad.
And so then I was thinking, and a couple hours passed, and I started putting these things together, NPR and folk music and ice fishing, and I realized that, oh, I heard Evan on From the Top when he was 17 years old, a year and a half previous. Before I knew anything about him, I used to listen to From the Top on my way home from orchestra rehearsal. So that was just a really wonderful coincidence.
And it saved you, Mary, from having to say, Evan, I feel like I've known you my whole life.
Yes.
Nah, I just heard you on From the Top.
That's okay. That's pretty good, though.
We did have fun with Evan's ice fishing with his dad on that show. How his dad loves to listen to NPR in the fishing shack, but has a hard time getting very good reception out there, especially when Sylvia Poggioli is on the air.
Hey, Dad. Dad, I think there's something on your line there, Dad. Darn it! Would you grab that coat hanger antenna? I'm losing Sylvia Poggioli. Dad!
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I'd remember Evan for that too, Mary, for his bad acting.
Yeah, well, he's a pretty good bass player, though, so he makes up for it.
Anyway, we were very glad to have been a part of your getting together. This is actually probably our first From the Top marriage, so we wish you well. Let's show everybody how well you work together as musicians. Evan, will you please introduce these songs of yours?
Sure. Actually, soon after we met, we started making music together. And soon after that, we were looking at some of Mary's favorite children's poems and chose four seasonal poems for me to set to music for us to do as a duo. And we'd like to play two of those. The first is a poem, Summer Morning, and the poem is by Rose Feilman. And we'll start with that, and then we'll do In Just. The poem is by E.E. Cummings. And it's a wonderful poem about the very beginning of spring. And he uses some great made-up words to describe it, like puddle wonderful and mud-luscious.
Yes. The stage is yours.
Specks of light, while butterflies were dancing too, between the shining green and blue. I might not watch, I might not stay. I ran along the meadow. The straggling brambles caught my feet. The clover field was old.
From Evan Primo's seasonal song cycle, Summer Morning and In Just Spring. Composer Evan Primo at the double bass, joined by his wife, soprano Mary Conahan.
Beautiful pieces,
thank
Evan,
you.
And
thank
so
you.
Beautifully sung, Mary.
Thank
really
you.
Great. So you, I think you make a good team. I think it's a
I'm
good
glad
one.
We meet with your approval.
Yeah. Okay, so now you're married. Evan, I understand you guys are spending part of your time in the Hudson River Valley and half time in Manhattan, and you pay your rent in beer?
This is true. It requires a little explanation. I got into homebrewing, actually, about a year and a half ago, and I've really been enjoying it. It fills the whole apartment with some pretty wonderful smells. And when you open a bag of hops, it's quite an experience. Mm-hmm. But so my buddy Chris, who I've been staying with in the city, I just bring him a six-pack of homebrew every week, and it works out pretty well.
That's great.
Yeah.
Mary, have you sampled the beer? I'm sure, yes.
I've certainly sampled it. I'm not a fan of beer in general. I'm sure that Evan's is about the best you can get. But no, I try them, and I appreciate Evan's work. And that's and I don't know.
Mary, when Evan says he's spending half his time in the Hudson River Valley, it's because you're studying somewhere, yes?
Right, I'm at Bard College in the second year of my master's degree there.
Very good.
Don Upshaw started a vocal master's program 3 years ago, so I'm the third class that's gone through this program.
good friend of the show.
Yeah, it's
glad
wonderful.
You're in good hands. And Evan, when you're in Manhattan, you have an amazing appointment connected to Carnegie Hall. What are you doing there?
I'm a fellow in the Academy, which is a program of Carnegie Hall, the Juilliard School, and the Weill Institute. And we perform as a chamber ensemble in Carnegie Hall and other venues all around New York City. And also, there's a really big, wonderful outreach component of the program where each of the fellows has a 36-day per year residency in a public school all around New York City. So I'm at PS 157 in South Bronx and have a really wonderful time there with the elementary string teachers, string students, and I team teach with their regular teacher there.
So what do you guys think? You've done well in New York with all the incredible musical opportunities that city has to offer, but you're both, you know, interested in making music at a grassroots level and living in a bucolic paradise, I would imagine, you know, having grown up there. Where do you think you're headed musically as a couple? What's the plan?
Well, we've done a lot of kind of trying to think about this because you're absolutely right. I think what fulfills us both in ourselves is... and in our music, is being close to the land and being close to nature. And so we definitely want to figure out a way to live in that way. And homestead, I guess, would be the ultimate for us, living and eating from the land that we live on as closely as possible. And Mary loves fibers.
Yeah, I'm a big knitter and spinner, so I have a list of fiber animals that need to be on the homestead someday.
Live where you want to live, yeah. And you know, just from hearing you guys and feeling the creative energy that is behind both of you, the opportunities are going to come to you.
Oh, thanks.
I
well,
think.
We're just going to take it one step at a time and see where things go.
Yeah, let them come to you.
Yes.
We'll be keeping an eye out for you, too. And I want our listeners to know that we've got a really interesting video on our website about Evan's music projects in the South Bronx. And there's great footage of him playing with his family band in the UP, the Upper Peninsula. That's at fromthetop.org. Evan, Mary, thank you for being with
us.
Thank
you.
Beautiful.
Evan Primo, our 10th anniversary performer, with his wife, soprano Mary Bonhead.
Podcasts of From the Top are available every week at fromthetop.org. Over the last 4 years, From the Top and the Jack Kent Cook Foundation have awarded over $1 million in scholarships to talented young musicians who have financial need, and we still have more to give. Go to fromthetop.org to learn more. Chris.
To end today's show, we're going to hear a first-rate string ensemble made up of kids from this area, the Palo Alto Chamber Orchestra. But before we hear these guys play, let's quickly meet two members of the orchestra. We have Nicole Chen, 16-year-old violinist, and Meetu Gupta, 17-year-old, our cellist. Also with us is the ensemble's conductor, Benjamin Simon. Nicole, like with lots of youth music programs, the orchestra we're about to hear is sort of like the A-list, the top ensemble in a program which has lots of other ensembles of varying degrees of proficiency, you know, feeder ensembles where younger kids develop. And actually, it's not just broken up into groups. You're in this ensemble, and yet you're actually teaching kids in the younger ensembles, yes?
Yeah, actually, I'm coaching two groups right now, and in each group, it's actually four boys, so quartets. One group is... 10-year-olds, and then the other group, they're freshmen and sophomore in high school. So the younger group, I basically go over the basics with them, playing together, playing in tune, and they're really cute, and they're so enthusiastic. And the older group, I work with them on how to express the music and stuff, and they're a little bit less enthusiastic at times.
Well, don't you? I mean, you know, the 10-year-olds are probably eager to please. They want to please, you know, Nicole. And the freshman or sophomore is probably thinking they're trying to catch you out or something, right? Isn't that true?
I don't know.
No.
Maybe.
you don't have to be generous about it. Me too. When you get to this top level of the orchestra, this orchestra gives you incredible opportunities. Tell everybody about your tour you guys just did with Matt Heimovitz.
Yeah, that's right. Last summer, we toured the East Coast with Matt Heimovitz, who is a cellist and an alumnus of the Palo Alto Chamber Orchestra. Let me tell you, he is a perfectionist. He always had a precise sound in mind and was very outspoken about the way in which the sound should be achieved. Playing with him was particularly rewarding because he worked extremely hard with the orchestra and brought out the best musicianship in each of us. Mr. Heimovitz is a world-class cellist and could have easily sat back and played his solos, but instead of using the orchestra as a background, he decided to incorporate us and treat each part as if it were his own.
Well, it's a great opportunity for him, I would imagine, to be working with such an engaged and impassioned ensemble
yeah,
as yourself. Let's bring Maestro Benjamin in. Ben, you're also the music director of the San Francisco Chamber Orchestra, and you were a member of the New World String Quartet when they won the Naumburg competition. What attracts you? What's great about working with these kids?
Well, I'm one of those few adults who actually love teenagers. And it's just so refreshing. It reminds me every time that I rehearse with Peiko why I love music and why I'm doing this. The enthusiasm, what I get back from the orchestra, from these wonderful young musicians, is just it's priceless. It's wonderful.
Quite infectious. Ben, tell everyone what this outstanding orchestra is going to play for us.
Well, we're playing one of Corelli's most popular concerto grossi, Opus 6, number 8, which is subtitled The Christmas Concerto, because the final movement is this beautiful pastoral in G major that is written for as a Christmas song. But we're not playing that part. We're playing the opening two movements, which are in G minor, much more rugged, energetic, great rhythmic drive in this. So this is my favorite end of the concerto, not the end of it.
Very, very good. Lovely Baroque way to end our show today. I want to thank all of our great young performers and thank you all for listening. This is Christopher O'Reilly. Please join me next week. And now, the Palo Alto Chamber Orchestra, you can take it from the top.
Thank you.
From the Top is written and produced by Tom Vagley for Tom Vagley Productions, with Tim Banker for From the Top. Musical direction by Tom Vinieri with Caroline Cardius-Menos. Our tour producer is David Balsam. Our production manager is Elizabeth DeVore. Technical direction by Barrett Ouellette with David Forbes and John Servies. The executive producers are Gerald Slavitt and Jennifer Hurley-Wales. I'm Joanne Robinson. From the Top is produced in association with WGBH Boston. Our home and educational partner is New England Conservatory in Boston. To download an application to appear in our program, visit fromthetop.org.
Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and from Liberty Mutual, offering auto, home, life, and business insurance for a variety of needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy? From the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at macfound.org. And from the William and Flora Hewlett Foundation, making grants to solve social and environmental problems at home and around the world. On the web at hewlett.org. This is NPR.